Blog Talk Radio.
Beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory. So we thank God that we're here just one more time, that we're able to look into the Word of God. We're here because of God's mercies. We are not consumed, as Jeremiah say, because his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. So we thank God for, the writer says, for his loving kindness and for his tender mercy. So again, we say welcome to Truth Ministry. And we like to welcome all of our Blog Talk friends, all of our Facebook friends, all of our Twitter followers, and all of our LinkedIn connections. We thank God that we are here. We say again, welcome. So we have a question that we always like to ask, and that is, because it's so important, and that is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So that's so very important. Concerning the gospel, which is the good news of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, Emmanuel, God with us. So he came to seek and to save that which is lost. So not, we don't want to just be going through the motions, but we want to believe. And that's why he said, these are written that you might believe and that you might have life through his name. So when we get to the end of the chapter, so this is what John says. So these things happen that we might believe. So it's imperative that we do so, not just be hearers of the word, as James say, but doers only. So he said, lay aside all superfluity and naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. So this is what we need to do. So we want you to know, as we know, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So this is what St. Paul was letting the church at Ephesus, the Ephesians, know. And this is one of his prison epistles. So it's so important to know your position. So these people were already saved. They already been to the water, already been baptized, as we say. They've been down in Jesus' name, as the song we sing, I don't care what the world says about me. I've been down in Jesus' name. So they've already been baptized in the name of Jesus in water, and they already received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives them utterance. So that's what's so different. as what they call the Pentecostal experience, actually, because Pentecost is not people, it's not a religion, it's not a denomination, but it's a day. And so when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all together with one place, in one place, with, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the place where they were sitting. There appeared unto them clothed in tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And the writer goes on to say, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So that's the fulfillment of Joel 2 and 28. Shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. He goes on to say, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Upon my servants and my handmaids will I pour out of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. So that ends, because you don't go any further into the book of Joel. You're going into another dispensation. So this is what we're all about. So you must be born again. And as we have went over on week before last, I believe, when he Jesus told Nicodemus that you must be born again, not just for him, but it's for us too. The wind bloweth where it listeneth, thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. And he goes on to say, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So that's why we always say, we remind you, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. That's not going to happen anymore. It's already here. That's why St. Paul wrote to the church at Rome, what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, the word of faith which we preach. So this is a quote out of Deuteronomy. Thou shalt confess. So he was saying, who? Don't say in your heart who's going to go up to heaven to bring Christ down, or who's going to descend into the deep to bring him up. But he said, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And he goes on to say, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So he goes on to say, there's no difference between the Jew or the Greek, for the same Lord is rich unto all that call upon him. So he goes on to say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So he goes on to make it plain about what he's talking about. So you got to have a preacher. So he goes on to say, he was saying Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that a man which doeth those things shall live by them. So then I already quoted that part. So he goes on to say, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all of that call upon him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? A question. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? So that's three different questions. How shall they preach except they be sent? Another question. As it is written. This is out of the 52nd chapter of Isaiah. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings. They have not all obeyed. So this is Isaiah's prophecy, the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who hath believed our report? So that's out of the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And then so he goes on, as we quote, and I made mention on last time, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we got to have the word to eat for our spiritual food. So that's why the master made the quote that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So we got to have the word. That's the only way we can live. We must have the word of God. So we're glad that we're here to continue on here in St. John's Gospel. And like I say, my theme, my ongoing theme is the Godhead, which means that he is the God that is the head of all things. So it's only three times in the scripture. In the book of Romans, he's talking about even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And so in the book of Acts, we shouldn't think that the Godhead is like unto silver or gold. In the book of Colossians, he's saying about don't be deceived about the rudiments of the world, all these things. So he goes on to say about the philosophy of men, but he says, for in him, in the book of Colossians, talking about in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, yea, complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So, just like I mentioned on last week, that he, three offices that, so many offices that he's fulfilling, but he was a prophet. He did that during his earthly ministry. The office that he's in, talking about the Son of God, that he's in now is the office of priesthood. Now, we just got through going through the whole book of Hebrews not too long ago. We finished that up. So he is the priest that ever liveth to make intercession for us. And like I made mention, in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, the writer, St. Paul, says we don't know how to pray for what we pray for as we ought, but the Spirit makes intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. So he's, you know, some people say he's praying for me when he told Peter that I already prayed for you that your faith fail not. When you're converted, strengthen the brother. In the 22nd chapter of Luke, he was saying, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired you that he may have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Yeah. That's, he literally prayed for Peter. You got to understand that Peter was then the apostle to the Jews. He was the man that he gave the keys to, Matthew 16 and 18. I say unto thee, thou art Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he goes on to say, I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. It means exactly what it says. The church has binding and loosing power. So he gave that to Apostle Peter. So he gave him the keys. And so the church, the doors of the church were open on the day of Pentecost. Which means, what do you mean by keys? He had the power and the authority. And so God is very specific when it comes to his order. So he didn't usurp authority over his order, but he gave it to Peter. That's why he preached on the day of Pentecost. He was the man that opened the door on the day of Pentecost. He was the man that opened the door in the 8th chapter of Acts. He was the man that opened the door in the 10th chapter of Acts to the Gentiles. And so we know Apostle Paul's conversion was just before then. And so that's why St. Paul found those certain disciples at Ephesus when he was passing through. He was at Corinth, passing through the upper coast. He came to Ephesus and found certain disciples and said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They were saying, we haven't even heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he goes on to ask them, under what baptism? Well, you know, how were you baptized? They said, under John. He said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying on them which should they should believe on him which should come after him. That is on Christ Jesus. And that's why in the 19th chapter of Acts, it says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Paul laid his hands on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So they preached. They spake with tongues. So they were filled with the Holy Ghost, spake with tongues, and prophesied. So he was an apostle. That's why they laid it on hands, because they had the power, they had the authority to do so. So now the Holy Ghost is just falling on people. We don't have to, people want to just try to be some great one like Simon the Sorcerer saw that through the laying on of hands, the Holy Ghost was given. That's why he said to Peter, give me this power. Whoever I lay my hands on, they'll receive the Holy Ghost. And Peter was saying, your money perished with you because you thought that the gift of God might be purchased with money. He went on to say, you in a gall of bitterness and a bond of iniquity in the 8th chapter of Acts. And that's why Peter, Simon the sorcerer, said, pray to the Lord that none of those things that you said come upon me. So he had power. That's why those people died in the 5th chapter of Acts, Ananias and Sapphira, not because of the money or none of that, because they lied. And that's why he said, you haven't lied unto men, but you lied unto God. It was your money. So that happened, whatever that money was, they kept back part of the price. So they conspired to tempt the Spirit of the Lord. He says, Satan filled your heart to conspire against the Lord. So Ananias died first. They buried him. A space of some hours later, his wife came in. She didn't even know what happened. He said, the feet of them that buried your husband are going to carry thee out also. And she died because they lied to the Holy Ghost. And so she didn't even realize that her husband was already dead and buried. They took her out and buried her beside her husband because they lied. Like he said, you haven't lied unto men, but you lied unto God. So this is why even now we see there's so many folks lying. And I believe it's Proverbs 12 and 22 says, lying lips are abomination unto the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. God hates a liar. I believe Proverbs 6 and 16, these six things does the Lord hate. About a lying tongue, about people sowing discord among brethren. So he don't like that. So all of this stuff that's going on, even in these United States of America, some folks it's always somebody else's fault. Like the current situation at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, somebody lying. It's always somebody else's fault. He's blaming stuff on the previous administration. I mean, come on. You got to own it. You got to take responsibility for yourself. Let some folks tell it. They never done nothing wrong, which is a lie. Because the Bible says in Romans 3 and 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Romans 6 and 23, for the wages of sin is death. You're going to get paid. But the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what the gospel is all about. Folks need to repent and do works meet for repentance. So that was a gospel message when John the Baptist came on the scene, and the Lord, the Messiah himself, when he came on the scene, repent, he said, and believe the gospel. And that's why he was saying, God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. He wasn't talking about no rocks on the ground, but the stones that he's talking about is the condition of the heart. That's why he was saying these should hold their peace. The rocks would immediately cry out. And I'm here to tell you, I'm a witness. I was a rock. I wonder whose place did I take? So that's why he's going to literally, a couple times in the book of Ezekiel, that's what he's going to do for Israel, take out of them the stony heart, give them a heart of flesh, and put his spirit in them, cause them to keep his statutes and his laws, because he came to save people, not rocks. People don't understand biblical terminology. When it comes to certain things, they don't know. But nobody knows everything. And that's why St. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 8 and 2, the latter clause, when he said, if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. So we're ever learning because we don't know it all. And St. Paul said that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, talking about the Son of God, talking about the Lord, the Messiah himself, in the fellowship of his suffering, he says, being made conformable unto his death. And he goes on to say, by any means, when he wrote to the church at Philippi, which also was one of his prison epistles, I may attain, he said, unto the resurrection of the dead. So he knew that's important. That's why he said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's why he said, He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. That's why he said, it is God which worketh in you both the will and to do of his good pleasure. That's why he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So I help us in the name of the Lord. And so should you desire to call in, you can call our call-in number, 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285. Should you have a question or should you have a comment, you are welcome to call in. So today we want to keep on, because what we're talking about, this is part two, only believe. So it's so important to believe, and that's what happened to Israel. Reason why they couldn't enter in is because, and the worst sin in the whole world is not lying. It's a whole lot of that going on, committing adultery and fornicating and stealing and killing, all of this stuff that people's doing. But the worst sin in the whole wide world is unbelief. That's why they couldn't enter in, because of unbelief. So we got to believe. You got to believe. Keep on believing. That's what everyone needs to do. Don't just start off and turn away. But he says about, you know, the worst thing you could do is having an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So why didn't prophet the children of Israel? Because they didn't mix the word being not mixed with faith. Did not profit them that heard it. So we got to believe. So I believe it's Romans 15:4. Whatsoever things are written afore were written for our learning, that we through comfort and patience of the scriptures might have hope. So we can look back to see what they did. So there's a lesson. You know how they say experience is the best teacher. Oh no, it all depends on what it is. So you see somebody do something stupid, and that's plain talk. You don't do it. You ain't got to be in the same, that kind of category to realize, oh, I made a mistake. I learned from experience. Yeah, I learned from looking at other folks to do some things by watching, because people are examples, or not to do some things because it's a bad example that you don't want to mimic. You don't want to be a partaker of, or you don't want to repeat it, repetition of something that is not working or that is not wise that people do. So just like someone said today, they were asking about, this is on LinkedIn, one of my LinkedIn connections. I think this is, she's a minister from what I understand. She was asking about believers drinking wine. So I answered on there. I put the scriptures on there. And I know for a fact, my testimony, that I used to drink. I have drank. I don't drink. I've been saved for next month will be 41 years. I was a young man when I came in. So, but before I came in, when I came to Jesus, and that is, I went down and repented, went down in the water in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. Before that time, I used to drink. I drank enough to dive in and drown. I don't drink. It's unwise. I can't. I'm very sensitive to the smell of wine. I remember one time, went to a wedding reception, and they actually had wine. And no, you know, I'm very sensitive with that, and that is not a wise. The Bible is right. It says wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever deceive thereby is not wise. Then it's another scripture that's talking about give strong drink to them that are ready to perish, wine to those that be of heavy hearts. So in other words, you don't do it. You know, a little leaven the whole lump. Because you keep doing that, then you're gonna be intoxicated. So I don't do it, and I believe the Bible. And not only on top of all what I just said, I have no desire. I believe God. I have no desire for that. But you know what? I have the new wine. The new wine is the Holy Ghost. Like he said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. John goes on to say, this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive. But the Holy Ghost is not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. You find this in the 7th chapter of St. John. We haven't got there yet. But the people was wondering, because this is the feast that they were at in Jerusalem. So they were saying, they was asking about Jesus, you know, Christ come out of the city of what David was, and there was a division among the people. Then somebody said, they made a statement. They said, never man spake like this man. So, oh, yeah, he will bring the past. Whatever he said, he will do it. Like I try to emphasize all the time, the thing is, like nowadays with these false prophets, folks are lying anything in the name, because it's because of the love of money, to get something out of people, and they're lying on folks. And one thing about the Holy Ghost, he can't lie. So a real man of God, a real prophet of God, if he listening to God, the Holy Ghost never misses. He can't lie. So that's a blessed assurance that we have. So you can say what his word says. Don't you be opening your mouth saying something in your heart that you don't know and it don't come to pass. That speaks to one thing. It wasn't God. Because God cannot lie. So anyway, we ended up, I believe, on last time in the St. John, the 5th chapter, the 39th verse, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So this is the master talking. You will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you shall receive. So this, that is talking about in the time to come, when the Antichrist is going to sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Second Thessalonians, the second chapter, when he was saying, mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let till he be taken out of the way. Then shall the wicked be revealed. So they're going to realize, the Jews going to realize, when that man who is working is after the working of Satan with all deceivableness and lying wonders. And so they're going to realize that this man is not God. He's going to fool them. When he want to be worshipped as God, when he's sitting in that temple, they're going to know they were fooled. So he's coming in his own name. He is the man of sin, the son of perdition. So we have to realize, like, Satan entered into the serpent. Satan entered into Judas. Satan is going to enter into the Antichrist, the man of sin. He's going to actually be in this man. And again, and it's going to be horrible. God is going to allow it to happen. His word is going to be fulfilled. The church will be gone out of the earth at that time. So that's what's withholding him from working like he wants to work. It's in Second Thessalonians, the second chapter. So that's, he's holding it back. So the devil, people are doing some diabolical things, as we say, some damnable, evil, wicked things are going on right now, but the devil cannot really work like he want to. But he will when the church is gone out of the earth. Holy Ghost is holding him back from really turning it loose and cutting loose like he wants to. So he goes on here about if another shall come in my name, him you shall receive. So that's what he's talking about. How can you believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? A question. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. So those are what I'm talking about today. If you had been believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. So they should not have been, but if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? So that's a, he answered that with another question. So we go on here. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up to a mountain, unto a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Philip, this said he to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. So remember I said he is omniscient, which means he's all-knowing. He's omnipresent, which means he's everywhere and he's in every place. And he's omnipotent, which means he has all power. And so you, and also you can go fast forward to the 25th chapter of St. John when he told Peter after his resurrection, lovest thou me? And he was saying, you know I love you. So, and then, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said it to him three times. Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? And he said, Lord, thou know that I love thee. And he said, Lord, thou knowest all things. That's what Peter said. So Peter knew who he was. So it behooves us to know. And people, and I mean, ain't no trinity. That is the dirtiest lie that ever came up out of the pit of hell. Ain't no three. It's only one. He can, like I said, he can never be confined. God, that is. He can never be what he is not. When he gets done being what he wants to be, he goes back to being what he always was and what he never ceased to be. He's always God. He didn't stop being God because he became a man. He's everywhere, here, now, there, God. He can leave you, come to you, ain't gone, haven't gone nowhere. He can be at home with you. You leave him at home. He go with you over the highway, over the airways, whatever way you travel. When you get where you're going, he meets you there, come back with you. And when you get back home, meet you there. When you go to a service, the people of God gather themselves together in the house of the Lord, he will meet you there. And how is that? He manifests his presence because he's with us. And so, like we say, that, like somebody said, we say the Lord came in and blessed us. And he proposed a question, where did he come from? Because he's everywhere and every place. So that's why that even the prayer that Solomon prayed, you want God to be pleased to dwell in the midst. That is so important. You want his presence to be there. So you're looking for a good time in the Lord when the people of God gather themselves together in a building. We call it the church, but the church is the body of Christ. He is the head of the church, which is his body. So we come together to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, to encourage one another, to give our offering, to pay tithes. Everything that we do, we are in worship service. So there's an order that God has. So he said this to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves. When he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them up, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. So remember, I was saying that he got 3 offices that he had to fulfill. He already fulfilled the office of prophet. Now he's in the priestly office. So there's things that happen, even when the writers wrote, like Matthew wrote to the Jews. He knew that he was a king. And then so I believe it's Matthew's gospel. When they saw him, he said they held him by the feet. They had their hands up. Now in John's gospel, he's the great high priest. After his resurrection, he said, touch me not. I have not ascended to my Father and your Father and my God and your God. So he had to make the atonement. And so he appeared unto them after his resurrection in many infallible proofs, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And he told them that not to go back to Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. That's why he was saying, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. It's in the first chapter of Acts. They were come together. They said unto him, Lord, would thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He says, not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. He said those words. He stepped on a cloud and was received out of their sight. That's why, and then I believe the angels said, ye men of Israel, why stand ye gazing? This same Jesus which is gone up shall come in like manner. So that like manner, when every eye is going to behold him, even they which pierced him shall see him, that's the second coming. That's not the appearing. The appearing, as we call, is the rapture of the church. So the appearing is actually the rapture of the church, when the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That's in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, I believe, beginning with the 13th verse on down. Then Apostle Paul writes about the change in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, when he was saying about, there's a resurrection, about how it's sown in weakness is raised in power. It's sown natural is raised in spiritual bodies. He goes on to say it is sown in incorruption is raised incorruptible. And he goes on to say when it's corruptible, it's sown corruptible is raised incorruptible. And he goes on to say when this corruptible has shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality, then it's going to be brought to pass a saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Then he goes on to say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, I got a question for you too. Where is thy victory? Then he goes on to say, the sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So those verses are in the latter verses of the 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. So he was talking about we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. So the dead in Christ, so the whole key is it doesn't matter if you are alive in Christ or you're dead in Christ. But you want to be in Christ. That's the key. You need to be in Christ. So we go on here. So that's why they were saying then, after this another miracle that they saw here of the five loaves, five barley loaves, and the two fishes. Yeah, so that's they were saying that, you know, but this is actually, because what this was a little boy's lunch. Yeah, there's a lad here which has five barley loaves and two small fishes. But and then the question was, what are they among so many? So we saw what happened. He fed them. They had took up the fragments that there'd be nothing left. They had 12 baskets full. So he goes on here. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet, that should come into the world. So, you know, they had to know what the word of God said to see what was done. And that's why they wanted to kill him. As we're going to see as we go on, one time they took Jesus to the brow of the city. Because these cities were built on walls, not a wall like we would say. What best we could describe is up in the mountains. That these it was a place up high. So they took him, the writer said, to the brow of the city that they might cast him out headlong, which meant they was going to throw him over the cliff head first. And the Bible goes on to say that Jesus, through the midst of them, so went his way. He disappeared because it wasn't his time. Excuse me. So when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, he sent his disciples down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. So this is one of the of him showing his mighty power in who he is. So he goes on here. He gave the. He entered into a ship over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was now dark, and Jesus was not yet come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. You imagine, we're not talking about no little lake. We're not talking about a river. We're talking about a sea. And, I mean, the best picture you can get in your mind is like when you go to the beach. Like here in Florida, there's beaches all over the place, and the water is the Atlantic Ocean. So you imagine that's a big body of water, and that's one thing man is not messed with. He ain't messed with the sea, and he hasn't tried to tamper with the mountains, because that's why Moses was saying, "Lord, thou hast been our resting place," in the 90th Psalm. Throughout all generations, he goes on to say, before the mountains are brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth, the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. He was saying, you turn man to destruction. Say, you return, ye children of men. About 1,000 years in thy sight is like yesterday. We spend our life as a tale told. And he going on here about, you know, how we... Our days of our number are 80 and 10. If by any reason there be 80, yet there are strength, labor, and sorrow, and we fly away. So that's what he was saying, that we need to turn our hearts unto wisdom, number our days and turn our hearts unto wisdom. So in other words, he's eternal. That my point is about those mountains. They're not messing with them. And I've only seen, you know, depending on where you have traveled. I've been, because I actually... I've been to Vegas a few times, Las Vegas. When you're getting ready to land, you come in, it depends on which way you're coming in there. Like, so say, welcome to Las Vegas. And I'm thinking, the last time I went, like all of us, like, where is the runway? We are still in the mountains. Then you see the runway. Oh, I said, oh, there it is. We'll be on the ground in 20 seconds. So that, but my point is, man is not messing with those mountains. They're not tampering with those. This is what he's saying right here. So he had went in up in the sea rose by a reason of a great wind that blew, and when they had rowed about 20 or 30 furlongs, they're in this water, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship. And they were afraid, but he said unto them, as I be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at land whether they went. So that blows my mind. As soon as he got in the ship, they were at the other side. Now, when you read, there's three accounts of this. And Matthew has an account, and Mark, the sixth chapter, he has an account. So he was saying that he said in Mark's account, it was a fourth watch of the night they see Jesus walking on the sea. So that the fourth watch is 3 o'clock in the morning. The first watch of the night is 6 in the evening to 9 o'clock. That's the first watch. The second watch is from 9 to midnight. The third watch is from midnight to 3 o'clock in the morning. And the fourth watch of the night, which is the last one, is from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. So you imagine. Now say, just hypothetically, if they were up, they didn't get much sleep, how they could have been delirious, as we would say. You didn't get much sleep, and you're on that ship, and you see him walking on the sea. So they thought he was a spirit, and they cried out to him. So that's why they said, I believe it was Mark said he would have, or either Matthew, I'm not for sure, but either Mark or Matthew said that they see Jesus walking on the sea. He saw them. He saw them toiling in that boat. Said he would have passed by, but they cried out. So that could have been where they got that song, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, because he would have passed by, but they cried out. So here in John's gospel, John just gets right to the point. Soon as they received him into the ship, immediately the ship was at land, the land where they went. So that's another miracle. So the day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there save the one wherewith his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. Remember, I was talking about that dark place. That's Isaiah writes about that. Capernaum was a dark place, but they saw a great light when Jesus went into Capernaum and dwelt there. When they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, whence cometh thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. So he's talking about the bread and that little boy's lunch, that he broke those 5 barley loaves and those fishes. And that's why he was letting them know, that's why you because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. And he goes on to let them know, labor not for the meat which perish, but for that which meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then they, said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Then he goes on to let them know, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. So he's talking about him. So he came as the Son of God. So that's so very important. You try to get people to see, but you're not going to get... No man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse, No man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So the natural man, in 1 Corinthians 2 and 14, he received not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So you got to have, it takes the Spirit of God to understand spiritual things. So they said, therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What doest thou work? And our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So this is back in the Old Testament. He's talking about in Moses' day. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he that cometh down from heaven and giveth you a life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father hath given me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. This is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but shall raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So that's what I was talking about when I was talking about the rapture, or the catching away of the church, or the appearing. Then the Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God, every man. Therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God, he has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I have given, will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how then can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things spake he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? So you imagine that? That's a mouthful, all what he said unto them. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So you probably heard me quote that scripture before. So in other words, the Spirit gives life. The Spirit, that word quickeneth means to make alive. So that's it's the Spirit that do that. That's why he was saying, the Spirit makes alive, the flesh don't profit nothing. So he's not talking about, it's literally what he's talking about, the institution of the Lord's Supper or communion. When you eat bread and you show the Lord's death till he comes, in the 15th, in the book of Corinthians, in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, when he's talking about the Lord's Supper, when he was saying, take, eat, this is my body. So when you pray over it, it is the body of the Lord. When you pray over the fruit of the vine, it is the blood of the Lord. So this is what he's talking about. So they said you have to stay with them to get the understanding what he is talking about. So he said, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew himself, knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. So our time is almost gone here. So he said, therefore I said unto you that no man could come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. So we're going to end it right there. And so we're going to pick up in the 7th chapter, which is an awesome chapter also, on next time on Truth Ministry. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And so, like we always say, the question, which is so paramount that we always ask, that is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? God bless you.